Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve Jordahl is in now with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
From AFR News. Ray is in Kansas City, and Walker's with me. And we're Steve, Walker, and me, we're in the, is it me or I?
Me.
Steve and I.
Or Steve Walker and I, yes.
Yeah.
Ray, which is it? Is it me or I in that sentence?
Yes. Yes, it is.
You sound like what's his name, Yogi Berra?
Yeah.
He said he was famous for saying, "When you come to the fork in the road,
take it."
Or you could say Steve Walker and myself.
Yeah, I can't ever. It's hard for me to just know when you use I or me.
Take the other words out. Just take the word. So if you, it's like Walker, Steve, and I or me are in the room, would you say I am in the room or me in the room?
See? Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. However,
yes.
that is a very good English a lesson on English to understand. I appreciate that.
I'm a professional.
Well, then, you should be. I mean, but you have to be on the radio for news, right? It's
right.
Not live like us here where we let it fly.
Right.
However,
yes.
you have to factor in what you've just described, your definition, so that I can understand. But then the mind has to process that within, what, a couple, 3 seconds, are you saying?
Well, the thing is, you only remember that rule after you've blown it.
That's
right.
What I'm saying. So anyway, I think I like your thing about myself. Is that what you said, Walker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I got this new phone last night. Allison, my wife, and I went and got new phones. We did that about every 3 years. We don't like
it. It was time then.
It was time, but that's one of those things. I mean, who likes to do that, really?
No.
That's one of the few times in life you're getting something shiny and new and you don't want it. Huh? Am I right?
Yeah, true.
At least you don't want the learning process.
You don't want the learning process of having to get used to all those.
You just wish you could snap your finger and a new phone's in your hand, all the contacts and photos, everything's there.
Hey, are you going to tell us what you got? I want to know.
And you can maneuver it. Well, it's an Apple. Apple owns the world, right? I mean,
right. That's right.
I guess it's an iPhone.
Okay.
It's an iPhone. What is it?
An XR or a 10R.
Is it an 11? 11?
A 10R. XR is what they call it.
I didn't know they had R's.
Why? Was I supposed to get an 11, Ray?
I don't know.
You could have.
11 is one better than 10.
Might have cost you a little more.
It definitely cost.
Well, these
things nowadays, do we want to get into how much these things cost? It's like financing a house.
Right.
Well, that's exactly right.
We traded it in. I don't know. I'm just telling our personal business here. Allison and I got ours for like $250 or something like that.
Yeah.
And
sometimes sometimes you can pay out of pocket.
Would you trade in your boat?
No. We traded in our other phones. No, we didn't. We kept them. I don't know. You know,
Allison must have worked a really good deal.
I guess
sometimes you can upgrade and get if you're due for an upgrade and get a decent deal.
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
But it's funny because, you know, remember probably 10 years ago, they used to do the 2-year upgrades and you would get a new phone for like a dollar. And then they did away with that.
Those days are gone.
Yeah, man. They did away with that. Now you go in and they go, you want to do 60 month or 72 month finance?
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
that's right, 72 months.
Yeah, it's like buying a car.
Finance it.
To your grandson graduates from college.
Now, my wife, Allison, she's pretty good at bargaining. I just let her take over.
Yeah.
If we're ever in, like, car negotiations or whatever.
Walks out, doesn't she?
Well, she walks out, and the man is standing there without any pants. I'm talking about the salesman. Okay.
That's a high.
I know that sounded
right
bad,
there.
But what
that's
I'm saying
negotiator.
Is, yeah, she's a
metaphorically. You're saying
you never beat my wife in a car negotiation because she'll hold out till you call her and say,
right.
"I'll pay you to take
Uncle.
The car." Yeah,
that's right.
So we always get a good deal on the car, but. Yeah, but the thing about this new iPhone is it doesn't have that button at the bottom.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So that's hard to get used to, isn't it?
It is.
What number are you on, Ray? here.
Well, the reason I'm so interested in this is because I dropped my iPhone. I got an 8 Plus. I was real proud of myself. I dropped it the other day, and I'm sitting here looking at it. I got a big crack at the top of the screen, so the battery's going. The screen is broken.
You have an 8 Plus?
8 Plus.
Now, y'all have 5G there in Kansas City, don't you?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Now, does your phone work with 5G?
Yeah, it does. It does. I can't tell that it's hugely faster. The main thing is, I don't know how people say, I agree, Apple comes out with a new model, and suddenly all the old models, the battery life goes down to about zero. So mine just...
I have a conspiracy there, Ray.
I think they're
programmed and built to die.
Oh, that's not a conspiracy. It's called planned obsolescence.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
It's Apple, called making more money.
Right, Steve.
That's how you keep selling more product.
What? Yeah, I've often wondered about the companies that make too good a product, right? Because you don't have
it to last too long.
Right.
Well,
that's right.
I mean, really,
Apple knows how to keep it coming back.
That's why Maytag isn't around any longer.
That's right.
I don't think they are. Are they around?
Yeah, they're around.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I just know the Maytag repairman commercial. Remember that? He didn't have anything to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, if you go on like that, you're going to go out of business because you're not going to sell any more washing machines. Go ahead.
I don't know if they actually program the battery to die and things to break, but what they do, and they literally do this so you have to get a new phone, is they stop supporting the old one. All of a sudden, apps won't work. New apps won't work on it. You can't,
it's kind of like you can't find old parts for your car.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Well, get a new one.
That makes sense to me from a business side. You want new. So let me ask you this, Walker, one more question about that. I know this people don't care about this, but
I think people are listening.
You think
very
so?
Intently.
Yes, they are.
But they're intrigued. For people who own iPhones, and I know what's the most popular alternative? Isn't it Galaxy or Samsung?
Yeah,
or
Samsung, Galaxy, or an Android.
Well, those are Android
are
phones.
Are they the same?
I mean, Android is the operating system.
Okay.
And the phone is Galaxy,
which is the most popular rival to Apple.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Steve, here's the question. I got a phone question for you, Steve. In the whole world, which is bigger? Does the Android system have more users or the Apple system?
I think Apple is
far and away. They rule the world.
Probably 70-30.
Probably.
Something like that. But
So basically, you guys are in agreement that I need to get myself a new phone. That's
here's what I was going to tell you,
Ray. That's the reason I brought this up.
Yes, here's what I was going to tell you, Ray.
I'm taking out of this conversation.
I don't know what number phone you need. When you ask, if you're going to ask one of the people, they're going to sell you the benefits of the one that costs the most, and I don't blame them. They have to make a living too, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So they sold us on this camera on here saying how good it is, and it is. It's great. These cameras make cameras obsolete almost on these iPhones, but especially on these newer ones. But if you buy one of these, Ray, I would recommend getting an OtterBox.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Steve and I both have them. I don't know. Do you ever use that?
That's the one, the super strong case, right?
Yeah, and Adam has one. Yeah, it's a super strong case. And I know it's a little cumbersome at first, but it saves your phone.
Absolutely.
But if you drop your – who doesn't drop their phone once
in a while? We all do.
Huh?
Yeah,
right.
We all do.
So what do you
Mine's
use?
Not as strong, but I do have a phone case, a protective case.
You do have a phone. But I got the OtterBox, so mine's – like in case of an earthquake or tornado.
Right.
You know, I mean, those things happen. You don't think they're going to happen, but if a tornado takes your phone and blows it to Georgia,
right.
you're going to go get it.
Somebody can look at it and get it and call me.
You won't survive, but your phone will.
Yes, exactly. That's a good advertisement line right there.
I actually have a real life story for that. One of the earlier models of the iPhone used to have a protective screen over the mic and the speaker, and my cell phone had an OtterBox on it, but made it through an entire cycle of the washing machine, dried out, and worked perfectly.
Really?
I kid you not.
You washed and dried your phone.
You washed it. And then put it in rice for 3 days. And it came back and it worked perfectly. No problem.
You're saying that's how protective the OtterBox was?
Was back then. It used to have
Did you tell the OtterBox company people this?
I have not.
That's a good advertisement.
You could have named your price.
You know.
You could have said, hey, listen, I'll do a commercial for you.
True story.
And tell my true story. You missed out right there on your opportunity.
Adam didn't have any problems with that until he took the phone out of the dryer and tried to iron it, and then.
Oh, that's funny.
Then we had some difficulty.
All right, Steve, go ahead and depress us. What do you got?
Things are getting a little chippy on the Hill. I got to tell you, today Nancy Pelosi. You've heard from Nancy Pelosi already once this morning when she decided that they're going to pursue articles of impeachment. Well, after that, a little bit after that, she had her own news conference, her regularly scheduled Speaker of the House news conference, and she was walking off when a reporter asked her a question. I want you to listen to this. This is cut number 22.
Hate the president, Madam Speaker?
Do you hate the president?
I don't hate anybody. So don't you accuse me.
I did not accuse you.
You did.
I asked a question. And Representative Collins yesterday suggested that the Democrats are doing this simply because they don't like the guy.
I have nothing to do with it. Let me just say this.
I think it's an important point.
I think the president is a coward when it comes to helping our kids who are afraid of gun violence. I think he is cruel when he doesn't deal with helping our dreamers, of which we're very proud. I think he's in denial about the climate crisis. However, that's about the election. This is about the election. Take it up in the election. This is about the Constitution of the United States and the facts that lead to the president's violation of his oath of office. And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
Don't mess with me, she says.
Well, I'm no fan of Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
I think that's an established fact.
We've suspected that for a while.
Yeah. By any means. But I feel the same way she just said right there. Mm-hmm. When we are attacked as a hate group.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or I'm personally am told I'm a hater because I find a lifestyle inconsistent with the Bible, and you point that out, and people say, well, you hate those people.
Right. Yeah, you're a hater.
Yeah, that's not true, and so it makes you the worst thing you can call a Christian is a hater. Christians. A recoil, or they, I think a word I used recently, recoil at the use of that against them.
Mm-hmm.
Or what was the word I used recently? They just find it repulsive. And so when you are accused of that, you almost feel obligated, even though you shouldn't. It's kind of like, when did you stop beating your wife type thing. To prove that you're not a hater. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're automatically on the defensive.
You're automatically on the defensive. You shouldn't be, because just an accusation has been hurled at you. Right. But I think that's what she felt right there, mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi, and so that's the reason she spoke so strongly. She, as I said earlier, she's a Catholic, but her views on abortion are complete, and that's to commit an act of abortion is a sin in the mm-hmm. Catholic teaching.
I believe it's a mortal sin, if I
which is the most serious, and she's not been excommunicated, or I don't know if she's been disciplined. I don't think so. So how she reconciles that with her Catholic faith, which she says she prays for the president. As a Catholic, she defines her life with love, is what she says. So, anyway.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna say she hates President Trump because I don't know her heart, but the actions of the Democrats definitely show contempt for the president, and an unfounded contempt, might I add, when it comes to what they're putting him through, what they're impeaching him over,
and the quote facts that they're providing to base that on.
Yeah, all of that put together, you can easily say by the Democrats' actions that they highly, highly dislike the president, and I would say for unfair reasons.
And Ray, a lot of them have Trump derangement syndrome.
Well, she may not hate the president, but I do think she has a case of TDS,
yeah,
Trump derangement syndrome. The to take every word he says in the worst possible way, to take anything he does and twist it
right,
to make it the opposite of what he meant. She's not the only one with that affliction. Actually, Tim, I agree with you. I thought her answer was good, leaving all else aside. Christians are not to hate.
Right. Right.
And I think any of us would give the kind of answer that she gave, and I thought she was sincere in what she said.
Yeah. The word I used in a recent column about this whole topic is Christians are mortified when they're called to hate. Mm. When they're called a hateful person, they're mortified, and so they feel the need to defend themselves against a charge that hasn't even been proven. So, and of course, we know the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, accuses thousands of groups of being hate groups for no basis at all, really, a lot of times, except in the case of if you agree that homosexuality is, if you agree with the Bible that homosexuality is a sin, that's going to put you in a hate category. For a lot of groups. So anyway, that's what we're dealing with in our society, and we see that every day. Somebody's called a hate group. Somebody's canceled out of society because they said something in 1977. You know, we just live in a crazy world where you can't
hypersensitive.
where you can't even have a discussion about issues. You know, that you may disagree with without being called a hater. You know, or a bigot, or a racist. I mean, it's just, and I do think a lot of Americans are tired of it, you know, tired of that.
Yeah.
And find it unhelpful to our public.
It's a dialogue.
Dialogue. Yep, I agree. On the issues. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
Well, the impeachment proceedings have moved on to the House Judiciary Committee, and therefore Adam Schiff is no longer involved in it, but that doesn't mean he stopped trying to grab headlines. Adam Schiff, yesterday or lately, this week, in the last couple days, published the phone records of a number of people, including Rudy Giuliani, the president's lawyer, and Jay Sekulow, Devin Nunes, the ranking member on the committee, his committee, John Solomon, a Fox News a journalist and a reporter, Sean Hannity, Lev Parnas, the national security aide, and other aides. He grabbed their records and made them public. We don't know what was in the calls, but we know what numbers were called and how long the calls lasted.
This is I've never heard of this. I've never heard of the majority party in the House and the committee subpoenaing and releasing phone records of one of their colleagues, another congressperson. A reporter. If you have a witness and you subpoena, then you get a lot of evidence. But I've just never heard of all this stuff being released, especially of a fellow House member.
If it's legal. And in this article in the Washington Examiner, they ask a couple lawyers who say it's highly, highly unethical, but it's probably not illegal.
Yeah, I don't think it's illegal because the House does have subpoena power to request evidence, what they view as evidence or documents from who they view as witnesses to certain things. So they can legally subpoena this stuff, and if you don't turn it over, they'll go to court and make you turn it over.
Let me ask Walker, do we know for a fact that they actually use that subpoena power? Because if a judge had to sign off on it, then it by definition it couldn't have been illegal, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether a formal subpoena was submitted here or if they threatened a subpoena. And thus, the people like Devin Nunes just went ahead and voluntarily turned it over.
Schiff subpoenaed AT&T and Verizon for the information.
There you go.
Oh,
so he
okay.
did subpoena.
Yeah,
okay.
And so to your point, Walker, I guess I could see why in an investigation, although this is sweeping and you have a journalist involved in this, you might be able to get some valuable information from the call logs. But why would you release them to the public?
Yeah, you shouldn't release them. Even if it was a Republican subpoenaing Democrat records, you shouldn't release that information. That should be private within the committee.
Well, my former colleague and friend, Representative Jim Banks of Indiana, sent a letter to Senator Lindsey Graham, in the Senate asking the Senate Judiciary Committee to subpoena call records of House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff.
Yep.
And he wants records of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and the whistleblower's lawyer, Mark Zaid.
Hmm.
So,
well, okay, so Steve, to come back to this, I'm still chewing on the bone of the legality of all this.
Mm-hmm.
So a judge has to decide. I mean, you judge is there, the subpoena comes in, and it says we want to Devin Nunes and this journalist and this these other people. He's got to decide whether or not to grant it. But as you said, all this is a phone log. It doesn't tell you exactly what the content of the conversation was. I guess the whole point being to leave it out there in some kind of, you know, to allow the speculation. On what grounds would a judge even agree to do this? You can see if it's a drug cartel or something like that. This is a purely political
yeah.
move.
It is, but it's dressed up in a legal framework, which is the House Judiciary Committee, or Intelligence Committee in this case, is doing an official legal investigation.
Yeah, but this is unheard of. Subpoenaing a fellow House member's
right.
call records
right.
and then releasing them to the public?
Yeah.
That sets up a bad, well, just like we've seen with other things, it sets up a bad future, a bad standard, if you will.
Precedent. Yep. Yeah. Next story.
Al Green, this is a little bit from the political.
Great soul singer.
Yes, wasn't he? He was singing on the house of the floor of the house. This is actually Representative Al Green of Texas.
Oh, different person.
Yes.
You had me there, Tim. You had me.
Al Green,
I didn't know about
Al Green is on the Senate Intelligence Committee, and after the hearing yesterday, he had a complaint. He's a Democrat, but he didn't
the
like
Senate the what
after the House
Intelligence
Committee. Yeah, if I said Senate, I misspoke. After the House Intelligence Committee yesterday, he went to the floor of the House of Representatives, uh-huh. and he said this. This is cut.
I rise because I love my country, but I also rise today with heartfelt regrets. It hurts my heart, Mr. Speaker, to see the Judiciary Committee hearing experts on the topic of impeachment, one of the seminal issues of this Congress. Hearing experts, Mr. Speaker, and not one person of color among the experts. What subliminal message are we sending to the world when we have experts, but not one person of color? Are we saying that there are no people of color who are experts on this topic of impeachment?
You're kidding me.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't joke about something.
Now, that he was criticizing his own Democrat leadership.
Yes, he was.
Nadler. That was a Democrat going after a Democrat, basically charging him of racism because there were four law professors, and because one of them wasn't of color, that means that that was intentional. And
you must think it was.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's ridiculous is what mm-hmm. that is. Huh? Come on. That's like... like me going to an NBA game.
It's too bad the Republicans
and saying, "Hey, there's no white people out there."
Therefore, the team's racist.
Therefore, the team's racist.
Yeah,
yeah.
It would have been really interesting had the Republicans called the only black witness. Then what would he have said?
Right. But the fact that he was going after his own Democrat leadership on that is all right. Thank you for listening to our program today, Ray. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
Our thanks to Adam for running the controls today and for Walker for adding his commentary. Thank you, and for his helping me with my new cell phone, which I'm going to be going to him for more help this afternoon. Thank you, folks, for listening to American Family Radio. Take care. We will see you back tomorrow with Trivia Friday.